Now, those of you who were here when Peter and Lisa and family were away, and we had a baptism which I conducted, and in introducing the baptism, I said there are three important things to remember about baptism. Can you tell me what the first important thing to remember about baptism is? The first one. Can you remember what the second one was? You know what the third one is. The first one is God's love. Remember, God's love, God's promises. That's the first important thing. The second, can you remember what the second is now? Is our response to God's love. And the third one is, don't drop the baby. Pam, have a promise. I've got one for you as well. But you said it first. Don't drop the baby. Okay, so three things. God's love, our response, and don't drop the baby. Okay, so those are the three things. And I want to quickly just look through those things this morning and see how they fit with us today, particularly in baptism. I have to apologise to Ben because I have got a visual aid which is probably Ben a year and a bit ago. But you'll understand the significance when we get there. Okay, firstly, God's love. Now, the Bible tells us something very important about God's nature. And it does it in a very short sentence of three words. Can someone tell me what it is? God is love. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. God is love. And it's saying that not just a bit of God is loving or lovely, but the whole of God is love. Not just God waking up in a good mood one morning and loving, but always God is love. Who are sons and daughters here? Put your hands up. Oh my goodness, it's hard going this morning, isn't it? Some people are not sure. Tony, if you're not sure, I shall go on for an hour. We're all sons and daughters. Thinking about our parents, our mums and our dads. Did our parents love us? Yes. Did they love us even when we were bad? I have to say, in our family we used to say, I still love you, but I don't like you. When our children did something sort of way out. Okay, I still love you, but I don't like you. And that's, in a sense, is a reflection of how God's love works. Because God loves us all the time. God is love. Even when we turn away. God's love is still there for us and still holds us. I'm going to get Brenda to come out and hold up something for us at this point. Jesus loved telling stories. And one of the stories he told is illustrated in this copy of a famous painting. Can someone tell me who they think the artist was? Who was that? Was that Oos? It was you. Oos. It's by Rembrandt. Can you tell me what the name of the, or the title of the picture is? almost, it's the return of the prodigal. And Jesus told this story, you remember, to demonstrate God's love. It was a story about a farmer who had two sons, both working on the farm with their dad. And one day the younger son thinks, actually, I've got all my health, vitality, I want to go out and live a bit, I want to really enjoy myself, and if my dad will give me my inheritance now, which I'd get when he died, I could really use that well, I could really have a great time now. So he asked his father if he could have his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. And Jesus said that he went off into a far country, and he had a riotous time, literally, wine, women and song. And he had lots of friends and so on, and parties all the time he had the money, but gradually the money was running out. And when the money ran out totally, the country was also hit by a famine. And so here he is now in this strange country with no money, with a famine. His friends have now deserted him because he hasn't got any money anymore. And he's forced to take a very menial job, feeding pigs, just to keep himself alive. And while he's doing this job, we're told that he comes to his senses. And he says to himself, do you know, I'd actually be better off back at home as one of my father's servants. They're better off than I am here. I know what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll say to my father, Father, you know, I've really hurt you and upset you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. And that's what he did. And he went back. And Jesus tells us that as he got nearer to home, his father saw him coming a long way off. In other words, his father was actually looking out for him all the time. And as soon as he saw him in the distance, he ran to meet him. And the son has been rehearsing his little speech, and he starts to come out with it. He says, you know, Father, you know, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I've really hurt you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. His father flings his arms around him and hugs him and says to his servants, you know, bring a robe, put it on him. Put sandals on his feet. Because my son was dead and now is alive. He was lost, but now he is found. He didn't deserve to be taken back as a son. But in Jesus' story, the father did what was not normal. He didn't disown him. He took him back. That was the extent of his love for his son. God's love. And that story Jesus told was to demonstrate God's love, the father's love for the son. It demonstrates God's love for us. Even when we don't think we deserve it or know that we don't deserve it. However guilty we might think, if we come back to God, he welcomes us back as a son. Thanks, Brenda. What is our... This is my wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know. My able assistant. So, God's love. Second point is what? What is our response? It's our response. Okay, first thing is God's love. Second, our response. How do we respond to God's love? Well, there are three ways of responding to God's love. And it's still the same today as it's always been. You get three responses. There's the first response where someone says, no thank you, and turns their back and walks away. And if you are in that situation, and some of you might be here, I would urge you to think again. Because you better be right. Because because the time will come when you will meet God face to face. And it's no good saying, I didn't believe that you existed. I would urge you to think again. Well, the second response is, yeah, I think I want to know a bit more about this. I think I'd better sit on the fence for a bit. I'm not for and not against. I'll sit on the fence. In 1937, John Griffiths was the controller of the great road bridge, drawbridge, across the Mississippi River. He was responsible for raising and lowering this bridge to allow the trains to come over. One summer holiday, he took his son with him to the job. And at midday, John Griffiths pulled the lever to raise the great drawbridge so that the ships could pass by underneath. And he and his son went up to the observation deck to have their packed lunch. The time went quickly when suddenly, in the distance, he heard the whistle of a train. He looked at his watch. It was 1:07, and it was the Memphis Express hurtling down the tracks towards the drawbridge, 400 people on board. He leapt from the observation deck back to the control deck, checked beneath to see if there were any ships in the way, and as he did so, to his horror, he saw that his son had slipped off the observation deck and had fallen into the gears of the mechanism that raised and lowered the bridge. And he was caught. His leg was held by one of the gears. And his mind raced, and he thought of all possible ways he could do and try and restore the situation. And he heard the whistle of the train again, much closer now, so much closer he can now begin to hear the noise of the wheels on the rails. And he knew he could only do one thing. And he buried his head in his right arm and pushed the lever. And the bridge closed just in time for the train to hurtle over. And as it did so, with tear-stained face, he looked into the windows of the passing carriages. He saw businessmen reading their midday papers. He saw women having coffee in the dining car and children eating their ice cream. Some people asleep, some people talking. No one looked at the bridge and no one looked at the control tower. And as they went by, he shouted at the train, "Don't you people care? I gave my son for you. Don't you people care? I gave my son for you." He sacrificed his son for 400 people on that train. God has done the same for us. God has sacrificed Jesus for us. Don't you care? In the reading we had, in the second reading, in Acts 3, we heard what they should do. And Peter said to them, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Some people do that. It's what the baptism service has been saying this morning, in which Matthew and Kirsty and godparents have been responding to the questions that Peter has put to them about repenting of their sins, about turning to Christ, about renouncing evil. That is the right response. It's the response not just for them, but for all of us. First point is God's love. The second point is our response then to that and the choices that we make. And the third one is don't drop the baby. I'm thankful to Sarah who has loaned me her baby. Young Sarah 5. So we mustn't drop the baby. Why mustn't we drop the baby? Why mustn't we drop the baby? It would do it some harm, wouldn't it? Goodness gracious, it would. I have a lasting memory and a horror in my own... I don't tell you this. When Brenda was having our second daughter, Victoria, in those days, husbands weren't allowed in the maternity suite. We were kept well out. And so I got down there on the first opportunity. And Victoria had just been born. And the doctor who was there happened to be our GP as well. And he picked Victoria up and he came over. And suddenly he went to plonk her in my arms. I wasn't ready for it. And she nearly slipped through. Oh dear, yes. That was a really scary moment. I still remember that. All those years ago, I tell you. Yes, don't drop the baby, because babies are fragile. They're not going to take an awful lot of bouncing. They'll take some, but not an awful lot. You know, and mums and dads particularly, you know, you're responsible for taking care of your babies or of your children. Which means that you have to make sure they've got food in their stomach. Take good care. You make sure that they've got the right clothes. Hold them carefully. You're holding on to the baby, looking after your child. Make sure they've got a roof over their heads. When they get a little bit older, you make sure that they go to school, and perhaps to the right school. So you're taking care of all these needs, but there's another area which you also are responsible for. Not just the physical side, that's important, but the other important area is their spiritual needs. You know, as human beings, we have a spiritual aspect to our lives, all of us. And you're responsible for that side as well. And sometimes parents start off well and look after their baby in their physical things and in their spiritual things, to the extent they are perhaps even pray with their child at night or for their child, might read them stories from the Bible. But then as they get on a bit further, they don't continue to encourage them. So sometimes they don't go to church with them. Ooh. Or they just let them do what they want, which isn't always the best thing. And don't encourage them to go to Sunday school or whatever children's activities there are on in the church. And sometimes they just do nothing at all and say, well, we want them to make up their own mind. Ooh. That is such a terrible thing to say. I want my child to make up their own mind. Why? You don't do it when it comes to eating or what clothes they wear or what school they go to. Why are you suddenly saying we want them to make up their own mind about whether they go to church or not? Or learn about Jesus or not, or a Christian or not, whichever word you want to use. It's a rubbish excuse. There's a responsibility to care for your child, which means a spiritual care as well as all the physical needs. So three things. What's the first thing?
God's.
Who says that? Is that over here? God's love. Thank you. God's love. The second thing is our response. And the third thing is don't drop the baby. I pray that all of us will take our responsibilities serious. Not just parents and godparents, but us as a church have a duty of care for them, to encourage them in their really responsible role as parents. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your love for each and every one of us, irrespective of whether we've deserved it or not. Thank you that your love is there and your love is constant. Please help us as individuals here to respond to you in the way that makes your heart glad. And Lord, help us to take our responsibilities seriously. As parents, as grandparents, brothers or sisters, godparents or friends, help us to encourage one another to learn more of you and to walk with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.